This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. A pearl-wearing brat speeds his $133,000 Mercedes right over an officer down. I don't mean he mowed the officer down. I mean he mowed over the officer while the officer was already down, defenseless on the ground. Imagine that. A $133,000 Mercedes monster machine, a G-Wagon. You ever seen one of those? They're huge. Plowing over you. You see it coming and you are helpless to do anything to stop it. That is allegedly what happened. At the wheel, a silver spoon brat. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Dalton Janicek, 21, from Gwinnett, Pennsylvania, is no stranger to the finer things. He lives a lavish life in a $1.4 million home and attends Loyola Marymount University. However, his reckless behavior has taken a dangerous turn, making headlines for all the wrong reasons.
A lavish life. Do you know how many jobs police officers have to work just to pay for their house, the house payment, the children's school, the cars, the braces, the this, the dance lessons, the that? I've had cops that work a shift all day or all night. Then they have two other extra jobs. And this guy, this brat, is driving $133,000 Mercedes G-Wagon, and he allegedly plows over an officer down to Dave Matt, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What do you mean by lavish life?
We are talking about a young man, Nancy, who has grown up in a powerful multi-million-dollar household. He's driving, as you've mentioned, a very expensive car. He went to a very exclusive school where he was on the rowing team in high school, and then went to Loyola Marymount, where he once again was on the rowing team for 2 years. This is a young man who has been given every possible financial advantage in life, Nancy.
Guys, when I say lavish lifestyle, I couldn't think of a better word. Let me understand something. Alexis Tereshchuk, joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. His father is a partner at a huge law firm. I've been trying to count out how many satellite offices they have. It's the Brisbois law firm. And I quit counting at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 times 2, 3, 60 satellite offices that I know of. So they're rolling in money, but obviously not in good judgment. So explain to me, this brat, the one wearing the pearls, driving the $133,000 Mercedes G-Wagon that allegedly not only runs over an officer down, but then rams, just circles around. Come to me, please. Circles around, according to my reading of the facts. Circles around, comes back to run over the officer. Wasn't an accident. He circled around the parking lot and came back to run over an officer, then also rams another cruiser with officers in it. Tell me about the daddy's law firm, Brisbois.
So Brisbois, his dad, they live outside of Philadelphia, a very wealthy area. He went to private school his whole life. And The dad's firm covers everything from cannabis, hemp, and regulated substances to entertainment and media and sports. This is their corporate. They do mergers and acquisitions. A huge, huge law firm. And in fact, his grandfather was a very well-known attorney as well. So it's two generations of successful lawyers and then him. So he actually has, his parents live in a $1.4 million house in a suburb of Philadelphia. It's a beautiful home. Again, private school all these years, driving this $100,000 car. This was not his first run-in with the law. This day, which started at 10 a.m.
Hold on, I'm going to get to his record one thing at a time. Hold on. Alexis Terezchuk. You got me drinking out of the fire hydrant right now. I want to hear it all, but in order. And I learned this trying felony prosecution cases. You have to go A to Z one at a time, all right, to set forth your facts clearly in plain fashion. I'm on the dad right now because this little monster did not just happen overnight. This took a good 20 plus years of careful breeding to make him what he is today. I want you to hear about Daddy's law firm, okay? Listen to this.
At my prior firm, some people left, and they were telling me about Louis Brisbois, and they were telling me it's better culture, better firm, you're going to really enjoy it. And my first thought was, I was at a big firm. This is even a bigger firm. It's just different letterhead. You know, I couldn't get my hands around that there would be a difference. And then finally, one day, I decided it was time for a change. And they were absolutely 100% dead on. This firm is very different. It's more transparent.
More transparent, more opportunity. Well, maybe Daddy's going to be transparent when he shows up for his son in court. You know, Alexis Terezchuk, as awesome as you are, I have a veteran trial lawyer on with me right now, Ryan Brown, veteran criminal defense attorney at jryanbrownlaw.com. Ryan, thank you for being with us. I noticed that Daddy's specialty, among many specialties listed for his law firm, Louis Brisbois, is liability. Could you explain in a nutshell, do not give me a law school lecture, what does that mean if you specialize in liability law?
Nancy, quickly, he represents insurance companies when they're getting sued. That's the elevator speech. So at a firm like this, it's going to be big insurance claims, you know, asbestos litigation, stuff like that. So big, massive, big time claims against big insurance companies. He's going to be representing
liability.
The insurance
liability to me, Ryan Brown, means you're liable. You did something wrong. And someone was harmed. That's what, when you're liable for something, you're responsible for something. Let's get back off Daddy's big law firm all around the country, 60 satellite offices that I know of. It takes a lot to become a lawyer at a big firm like that. Louis Brisbois, the spawn of this partner in this law firm, is the son, Dalton Janicek. Listen.
In a shocking video going viral online, the attempted murder of a police officer is caught on tape. At 11:56 a.m., Whitpain Township police attempt to stop a white Mercedes G-Wagon when the vehicle speeds away, driving erratically, high rate of speed, crossing over the concrete median. The officer sends out an APB to area departments.
That from at Kells and Dales on TikTok. Okay, I need to slow that down to understand exactly what happened. To Alexis Terezchuk, a Crime Stories investigative reporter, break it down for me exactly what happened. I've researched, and what really stood out to me was the claim, all of these allegations, Janicek presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. If there's not some sweetheart plea deal behind closed doors, that said, how we've heard about cases covered up, and the next thing you know, it's all done. Like, you know, just example, Jeffrey Epstein got basically house arrest for molesting little girls, that kind of cover up. That hasn't happened yet. And I want to make sure it doesn't happen, Alexis Terezchuk, because I do not like it when police officers put their life on the line and some spoiled brat wearing his pearls in his Mercedes G-Wagon does a big 360 and comes around to run over one of our officers. What happened?
So it started about 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, October 24th. He is driving, speeding. Police officers try to stop him, try to pull over his car, and he flees. Instead of where I live in Los Angeles, this would have turned into a car chase. They did not do that. They let him go, but they sent an alert out to all the other officers, all the local police areas. Hey, we've got a car that we're looking for. This other police officer notices, he says, a sergeant is hearing that there was a young man in town who had threatened to blow up the police department. So they were on high alert looking for this man. This sergeant's officer.
Okay, wait a minute. Alexis Tereshchuk, I feel like you're mixing up a lot of stories. You're not. I just need to get the order correct. I'm talking about an officer that gets mowed down and two other officers rammed. That's where we get the attempted murder. Okay, but I heard you say threatened to blow up the police department. You certainly got my attention on that. Would you repeat that part, please?
So police officer, a sergeant in the area, was told that there was a threat against the police department and that this young man, Janacek, had threatened to blow up the police station. So they were on alert about him as well. Then he gets...
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. I'm going to circle back to you, Alexis, because I'm focused on the officer lying on the ground that got rammed, that got run over, plowed over with a G-Wagon. But Ryan Brown, terroristic threat, that is a serious felony.
Nancy, you're right. It is a serious felony, but you've got to remember, we're not trying these cases in the press, right? On a case like terroristic threats, there's got to be something that corroborates this story, right? It can't just be, hey, this guy threatened to blow up the police station. Let's send him to prison for years. No, no. They're going to have to prove this in court with outside evidence other than just somebody saying he did it. They're going to have more, and we're a long ways away from that. That's why we don't try these things on TV.
You know, Ryan Brown, nobody asked you to try the case on TV. And earlier, you mentioned that terroristic threats were very illegal. Now, I'm sorry, they're not just illegal. They're very illegal. Okay, note to self. Alexis Tereshchuk, we've clearly gone down the garden path, but rightfully done. A terroristic threat is very serious. I'd be curious to find out if it was recorded, if it was on an answer machine, if it was called in somewhere where we have corroboration that Ryan Brown accurately described. It's necessary to prove a terroristic threat, but we're getting far afield. I want to get back to running over an officer down. Listen.
12:39 p.m., Plymouth Township Police respond to Doubletree Guest Suites, where the Mercedes G-Wagon is spotted. Pulling directly behind the Mercedes, activating lights, the Mercedes is thrown into reverse and used as a battering ram multiple times. Out of his patrol car, the officer orders Janacek to stop. Janacek floors the Mercedes, attempting to hit the officer, who discharges his firearm in defense. A bullet grazes the head of Janacek as he accelerates toward the officer, knocking him to the ground.
Okay, so if a bullet did graze him, straight out to Robin Dreeke joining us, behavior expert, former FBI special agent, chief of the FBI Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and author of Sizing People Up, a veteran FBI agent's manual for behavior prediction. You can find him at robindreeke.com. Robin, thank you for being with us. Robin, what personality does this? When an officer has pulled me over before, I say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and I shut my pie hole, and I do what I'm told. You know why? Because I don't want to get beaten up outside of the car, number one. But arguing with the cop, much less running the cop over while the cop is down. Also, the fact that he was grazed when the officer fired back, it's going to be really hard for him to say, oh, that wasn't me, with a trickle of blood running down his forehead.
Yeah, we got a couple of things going on here. One, this is an individual clearly without guardrails. He has no life reps and consequences for any actions whatsoever, and zero empathy for any of the actions that he plays out. His emotional intelligence is bottomed out at pretty much zero, if not totally zero and under it. And the other thing that's really curious too here is I think they're going to find a lot more through this investigation, because he so clearly targeted law enforcement both prior potentially as well themselves during this. I think there's a reason behind that that we're not quite sure of yet, because it just doesn't fit a pattern that we've seen established yet.
What do you mean by that?
It's curious that, all right, so here we have a young kid without guardrails, with impulse control act.
Why are you saying a young kid? He's in his 20s. Because did you know that my father, by this age, had already been all around the world fighting for his country, had come back, was trying to go to college, which to become an accountant, and support children, had to drop out of college because he couldn't do his job at the railroad and go to school. So, but you're calling Janacek a kid, and I'm curious why.
Because his mindset's that of a five-year-old without any regulation or emotional control. I mean,
you mean a spoiled brat? That does not make him a kid.
All right. So semantics on spoiled brat. But yeah, he's an adult making adult choices as an infantile brain, no doubt. And it's a broken brain because it hasn't been given its regulation. And so I really think that there's targeting going on here, especially if there's the claims of targeting law enforcement and wanting to bomb something. So there's a reason why that we're not seeing yet about why this anti-law enforcement binge in his life. I'm really curious about that. I mean, look at
that. Wow. We're just showing the ramming. At first, it didn't look too bad, but he hit that other car too. That from at Kales and Dales on TikTok. Thanks, Kales and Dales. I'd like to see that again. Okay, hold on. There's a cop coming up behind him, just as we learned at the Doubletree. Oh, runs right into him, takes off, and then, oh, whoa, okay, one ramming wasn't enough. The cop gets out, fires. Oh, and he went right at the vehicle with the cop. Ooh, that's not good. That is not good. Okay, Dave Mack joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. What happens after the video we're seeing from at Kales and Dales on TikTok?
After he tries to run over this officer, Nancy, the officer is on the ground. You know, he's actually like having to put a tourniquet around his leg. That's how bad he's bleeding. He feels like he's going to die. And here goes this idiot again, driving over him three times, not once, not twice, three times. Then he pulls out of the parking lot back on the lam. And of course, the APB goes out, and the city, everyone around there is starting to look for this vehicle that they know who's driving it. They know what he's already done. This is such a dangerous situation because anybody that is willing to purposely hurt, maim, try to kill a police officer, what does that mean to the rest of us on the street?
The injured officer on the ground putting a tourniquet on his wounded leg, Janacek circles the parking lot and heads back to hit him again and again and again. Three times Janacek runs over the defenseless officer laying on the ground, caught on video by shocked witnesses. Janacek flees the parking lot.
He runs over the same officer three times. Did I get that correct, Alexis Tereshchuk? Is that correct? He ran over the officer three times.
It is. But these three times are after he already hit him once. In the video is where you see him backing up in the police car twice. What you can't see, it's obstructed by the other car, but you can see the white car there. So he backs up.
There's the first hit. There's the first hit right there. Let's watch. The Plymouth Township vehicle. Okay, second hit. Cop gets out of the car, fires off one shot, grazes Janacek, and now the cop and is...
This is where he's
right there. When he mows over the officer for the first time. By the way, this video from at Kales and Dales on TikTok. Now, this is where Dave Mack is telling us he circles around and does a 360 and comes back for more, Alexis.
That's exactly right. He loops around this parking lot. He comes back. This officer is on the ground. As Dave said, he's tying a tourniquet on his leg. He is trying to stop the bleeding. It's a major artery in your leg. So he's injured. And this guy runs him over one, two, three times and then flees. So he has literally tried to kill him.
That video, fortunately, fortuitously, from at Kales and Dales on TikTok. I want to look at that video one more time. With one officer down and fighting for his life in the parking lot, an all-points bulletin, APB, goes out for the G-Wagon. Plymouth Township officers try to stop an out-of-control driver. Doesn't work. Was not successful. Look at this. You know, sometimes if you don't have the video, no one would believe it. And off he goes, only to do a 360 and come back and run over the same officer down on the ground trying to apply a tourniquet to stop his femoral artery from pumping out all of his blood onto the parking lot. That video from at Kales and Dale's TikTok.
With his whole life ahead of him, Janacek's time at LMU has been overshadowed by risky choices. His latest escapade involved a series of poor decisions behind the wheel of his high-end Mercedes G-Wagon.
Who in the H said that? His poor decisions. This is more than a poor decision. He ran over police officer down on the ground trying to self-administer a tourniquet.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know what? To Dr. Kendall Crowns joining us, he is a famous chief medical examiner out of Tarrant County, that's Fort Worth. He is an esteemed lecturer at the Burnett School of Medicine at TCU, and he is now the star of a hit podcast, Mayhem in the Morgue. The femoral artery. Explain, what is it, and how quickly can you die if that has been severed?
So the femoral artery is a branch off of your aorta. It's a large vessel that runs through your thigh. It's about the width of a little bit bigger than a pencil. And if this artery gets torn, you can bleed out in a matter of minutes. It's actually a very severe artery to tear or rupture. And it often happens in compound fractures of the femur that can occur when you get hit by a car.
Okay, slow it down for me, Dr. Crowns, because I want to hear every word that you just said. Could you say that really slowly? You're saying that you believe, I'm extrapolating. You're saying you believe that when the officer down was run over, it may have broken a femur. A, what's a femur? And B, how does a femur break result in aortal bleeding?
Okay, the femur is the large bone in your thigh. When you look at the video, the G-Wagon sits awful high, so the bumper, I feel, could have hit the officer in his thigh, causing his femur, which is the bone in the thigh, to break. And when that breaks, you can get a compound fracture where the fracture itself breaks apart and then pierces the vessel and then pokes out of the skin and causes extreme hemorrhage. So the fracture of the femur can tear the femoral artery, which then results in hemorrhage, and you can die in a matter of minutes.
The femur is about how thick?
The femur is about big as round as a toilet paper roll, maybe a little bit smaller.
So cracked in two, it functions as basically a spear because the end of the femur, when it's broken, is jagged. It doesn't break nice and clean like that. It's jagged with points. And that going into your aorta, your femoral aorta, would cause, I guess, almost immediate death?
So you're correct. It would be like a spear because no femur breaks or no bone breaks in a clean fracture. And yes, it would cut through the femoral artery. And you wouldn't die immediately, but you would bleed to death in a matter of minutes.
How many minutes, if you didn't get a tourniquet on, would a severance, you sever your femoral artery, how quickly? I mean, it's like a pump. It's like somebody's got a bike pump doing this, and the blood is just gushing out with every heartbeat. How quickly, when you say minutes, how many minutes did the officer have before he would have bled out without that tourniquet?
Possibly at the short end, 3 to 5, maybe at most 10. But it is going to be quite quickly. It's a very severe injury, and it's not something you want to mess around with, and you're going to want to treat it as quick as you can.
Okay, refresher. You have the femoral artery, which is in the leg. You have the jugular, What are the other major arteries?
Major arteries is carotid artery, jugular in your neck, the brachiocephalic that's coming into your shoulders, subclavian artery as well, which is in the kind of upper chest shoulder region. Then you go down, aorta is, of course, the big one coming off your heart, which branches into the iliac artery in your pelvis, that then branches into the femoral artery in your thigh, which then branches into the tibial and the popliteal and tibial artery in your leg. There's also the radius and ulnar arteries in your arm that, again, are all these arteries you don't want to cut in half because you'll bleed out. And, you know, the smaller ones, maybe a half hour or longer. The larger ones, it's a matter of minutes.
Dr. Crowns, not sure how to phrase this. If I had you on cross, I would have already written out the question, practiced it with you. A tourniquet. A tourniquet is tied very tightly. I don't know what the officer used as a tourniquet. You know, on TV and the movies, there's always something very handy close by and is used to, like, you know, a strip of material. Somehow this officer managed to create a tourniquet lying out there in the parking lot. The tourniquet is tied above the severed artery to cut off the blood pumping out, right? So sure. Isn't it true that very often when a tourniquet is used, you end up getting that limb amputated if it's not seen to immediately? I mean, you got to worry about death, but an amputation.
That's correct. The tourniquet, he could have used his belt. He could have used a rope from like a hoodie or anything like that. Some officers have medical kits that have tourniquets with them, the fancy tourniquets that the paramedics use, but you can use a belt.
Hey,
and what you're doing
Crowns,
is pinching
I just don't
off
think that,
that
there's any way. Hey, while he's talking, let me see the video again, because the cop is run over away from his cruiser. I don't think anyway that he would have time. Keep watching. That he would have been able to crawl from the parking lot to get back to his cruiser to get a medical kit. I'm just thinking about this police officer, Jake Hennessy, out there on the parking lot floor, the DoubleTree. See how far away his cruiser is? There's no way with his femoral artery spurting blood that he can get over there for a medical kit. And he knows he's going to die. Forget about the amputation. He's going to die. There's no way he can get back to that cruiser and get a medical kit out. So what could he have used? By the way, thanks at Kills and Dills for this video on TikTok. What would he have used? His jacket? I don't know.
No, he's probably used his belt. Usually tourniquets are a belt-like. So a belt, if you have it on you, is a very good tourniquet because you just put it around the limb and you pull it tight. And then that'll pinch off the blood vessels so you can stop the hemorrhage. And if you want to try and keep the limb alive, you'll release the pressure over time slowly to allow the blood to get back into the limb for a while. And you bleed when you do that, but you can keep the limb oxygenated or keep blood with oxygen in it getting to the limb. So you might not have to get an amputation. But the problem is depending on the severity, how long the tourniquet's on, He could have had above the knee amputation if his femur is broken.
Dear Lord in heaven, Dave Mack, Crime Stories investigative reporter, just think about it for a moment. This officer, Jake Hennessy, lying out there, nobody to help him, bleeding out from his femoral artery after this POC runs over him. And then he's out there trying to self-apply a tourniquet, and the guy doubles back and runs over him three times. How did that go down, Dave Mack?
As we see on the video, you know, there's vehicles in the way blocking our direct view of exactly what's happening. So we're going based on the description that is given to us. But as he's laying there on the ground fighting for his life, you mentioned trying to apply a tourniquet, even under the best of circumstances when you're not in such an incredible time, getting a tourniquet on a leg is not an easy feat. And he's also, you've got to remember, in this whole process, he also has had to pull out his service revolver, and he is taking shots at the windshield of this van coming towards him. So he's fighting for his life like it's in a movie, Nancy. And as this person aims his vehicle, lining him up to run over this officer who cannot defend himself, and he just aims right at him and comes at him again. He doesn't just do it once. He does it three times, Nancy. It is truly an attempted murder. It wasn't an accident. He had to line up to hit this man on the ground, totally defenseless.
Dave Mack says, this is like a movie. It's no movie. If I hadn't seen the video from at Kells and Dales on TikTok we're showing you, many people would not have believed it. You better believe it.
The injured officer on the ground putting a tourniquet on his wounded leg, Janacek circles the parking lot and heads back to hit him again and again and again. Three times, Janacek runs over the defenseless officer laying on the ground. Caught on video by shocked witnesses, Janacek flees the parking lot.
In a shocking display of recklessness, Janacek tore down the street in his luxury SUV, attracting the attention of law enforcement. Instead of complying with officers, he chose to flee, leaving chaos and serious injuries in his wake.
Again, who is that? First, he said a lapse in judgment, I think. Now he said recklessness. Ryan Brown joining me, veteran trial lawyer, criminal defense attorney at jryanbrownlaw.com. Recklessness, no, this is intentional. I would argue this was intentional because you break it down. He puts the car in reverse. That was the conscious decision. Slams into the officer's vehicle. Then forward, then back, then forward to run over the officer, then does a 360, comes back and runs over him three times. This is not negligence. This is an intentional act times three.
You keep saying that word intentional. I think that's where the defense is going to start, is by attacking whether he's intentionally making these decisions or not, or whether there's some sort of snap that's happening in his head. He's having some sort of mental breakdown or something where he doesn't know what he's going.
Put
what's
him
going
up.
On.
Did you say snap? You've been watching too much oxygen, man. There is no such thing as snap. Snap is the name of a program on oxygen where women have finally had it and they kill their partner. That's what snap is. Do you know one official code section that has the word snap in it as a defense? Oh, I snapped. I'm about to snap right now. That's not a defense. I snapped.
Snapped may not be, but it's certainly a defense if you don't know what you're doing and if you can't make decisions with knowing what's right or wrong. And I think that's exactly where the defense is going. He can't intentionally make these decisions.
Well, if he didn't know it was wrong, then why did he flee? Ryan.
He didn't. He turned back around and came back for more.
If he didn't know it was wrong, why did he flee?
He came back around for more. He didn't flee. He left and came back around for more.
And then what did he do? After he ran over the officer three times, what did he do, Ryan Brown?
Well, he runs after he's getting shot at.
No, he had already been shot. He fled. Go ahead. Or can you bring yourself to say it? He fled because he knew what he had done was wrong. There you go. That's what I call a fleeing felon. Okay, but it didn't end there. Listen.
With one officer down fighting for his life in the parking lot, an APB goes out for the Mercedes G-Wagon. Plymouth Township officers attempt to stop the out-of-control driver. Janacek attempts to flee, using his Mercedes as a weapon, crashing head-on into a Plymouth patrol vehicle, injuring a second officer, sending him to the hospital.
Alexis Tereshchuk? What? So he leaves the officer lying in the ground, bleeding, Jake Kennessy. Then he does what?
Then he flees and the police start chasing him. And then he sees a police car that is parked and he plows into it head on, just drives into it straight head on and smashes the police officer, who is also injured in his legs because he's sitting in the car. And with the force of the G-Wagon hitting it, it hurts him and he is injured in his legs.
Joining me now is Dr. Angela Arnold, esteemed psychiatrist at AngelaArnoldMD.com, former professor at Emory University, former medical director of the psychiatric clinic at Grady Memorial Hospital. Never a lack of business at Grady. Dr. Angela Arnold, this guy, the brat, the pearl-wearing brat with $133,000 Mercedes G-Wagon, that one, the spawn of the partner at Louis Brisbois, he has been categorized as having a lapse in judgment and acting recklessly. That's certainly putting perfume on the pig, is it not?
He is 21 years old. He should know right from wrong. His mind is developed enough to know right from wrong. Nancy, he has never had a consequence for any of his actions. If you can run a police officer down, then you don't care for anyone else on the face of this earth. And now that this boy has finally been caught doing something like this, and that he's done this, I shudder to see what his past is going to show about him.
Dr. Angie, I know you've seen this, how the parents have a child. They do everything they can to raise it correctly. They, you know, put it in a good school.
They fuss at it when it does something wrong.
Why am I hearing something? It's like a gnat. Oh, it's Dr. Angie. They make it go to church or synagogue. They, you know, try to teach it right from wrong. But yet, deep down, they know there's something wrong. And they don't know what to do with the child. So they just keep on plowing forward. I don't know if the parents had any idea. Dr. Angela Arnold, you haven't treated this guy. I haven't treated this guy. I don't know that he is a sociopath, but what is the textbook definition of a sociopath?
A sociopath is someone who does not have, they're not driven by a conscience. So when they do things, they don't see the difference between right and wrong in doing something. The reason I said that that could certainly be in his differential diagnosis is because, Nancy, we all know that if you are going to run over a police officer, there is no telling what you would do to someone walking down the street, the sidewalk.
You mean a regular person, not somebody with a shield.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Robin Drake joining us, behavior expert, former FBI special agent and author. What do you make of all this?
What we have is a total lack of impulse control that has been just exasperated by the people that he's been around. You know, and the ancient philosopher Goethe once said, you know, tell me who you consort with and I'll tell you who you are. So you don't want to blame the parents. You don't have to blame anyone because he's totally in control of his own actions and his own choices. But I guarantee you, as they start doing this investigation, diving deeper, he's going to be surrounded by a lot of people with a lot of similar thought processes as his. And this is what evil incarnate looks like when you are willing. I mean, just think about this. He left the scene where he mowed down an officer, he shot at, grazed in the head. And then as he's thinking in that little brain he has, as he's leaving, he thinks it's a great idea to turn around, go back and finish the job. That is someone extremely broken brain going on.
Earlier, I was duking it out with Ryan Brown, criminal defense attorney, on a terroristic threat. To prove a terroristic threat, you must have corroboration to, you know, support the claim. But I think we've got it in yet another alleged threat. Multiple witnesses hearing the threat. By the way, this video from at Kells and Dells on TikTok. Listen to this.
Janicek, the 21-year-old screaming at police, I will kill you, is taken to the hospital to be treated. The officer Janicek allegedly ran over three times, has to be airlifted to an intensive care unit for the first of what doctors say will be several life-saving surgeries. The second officer injured in the head-on collision is ambulanced to the hospital with injuries to both legs. Dalton Janicek is no stranger to local police. In the week before his arrest, he's been involved in several incidents in the area, including a threat to bomb a police station, multiple brushes with the law while driving, including speeding at more than 85 miles per hour, careless driving, and driving without a license. His criminal complaint notes that police were familiar with Janicek and the white Mercedes G-Wagon he operates.
People all over the world have nothing. And this guy, with everything, according to reports, has done nothing but terrorize others, ending now with a police officer being airlifted, having been run over three times. What a life of privilege he has enjoyed so far.
Janicek lives a life of privilege with high-flying famous attorney Father Lee Janicek and growing up in a $1.4 million home. Janicek graduated from LaSalle College High School in Widmore, then spent 2 years at Loyola Marymount on the rowing team. Grandfather Dr. Lee Janicek, the longest-serving commissioner in Springfield Township, retiring in 2019 after 44 years of public service. Janicek left Loyola Marymount after 2 years without revealing why he left college. Janicek was working at a local restaurant recently, but left that job and was living at the DoubleTree Hotel.
Specifically, Alexis Tereshchuk, Crime Stories investigative reporter, there have been, I think, 11 criminal charges since 2023. Would that be accurate?
That would be. There have been speeding. There have been changing the license plate on your car. It's all been related to the car, multiple. Driving, I believe it was without insurance and perhaps one time with a suspended license. So it's all around him driving and multiple run-ins with the law.
Now, just recently, there was a bid for bail, a bond in court. Alexis, what happened?
The judge denied that. He said, absolutely not. You are not getting out on any amount of money. No money. He has to stay in jail for now.
At one point during his most recent incident, Janicek allegedly told police, put me in the car or I'll kill you. Okay, Ryan Brown, you got your work cut out for you on this one. That's like, what, the third terroristic threat?
Yeah, certainly. They start to pile up. But again, if the defense is going to be, which I believe it will, that he's got a mental health problem that keeps him from knowing right from wrong. I know everybody's assumed, oh, he knows right from wrong. He's old enough. There are plenty of adults who cannot, for whatever mental health reason, determine what's right and what's wrong. And if so, that that's all you got to prove, that he can't tell the right from wrong. And that's what they're going to be focused
on. Boy, are you? Let me see him again. Do I look like I just fell off the turnip truck? You are trying to use the old McNaughton rule verbiage, which was brought over to the U.S. from British common law. You just quoted the litmus test for in the insanity defense. Did you know right or wrong at the time of the incident? What? Do you actually think I don't know what you're talking about? That does not apply here. Are you trying to argue temporary insanity?
Everyone keeps saying he knew the difference, and I don't think we know that yet. I think we've got to investigate this and find out.
Okay, Robin Drake and Dr. Angie Arnold, we can see where the defense is going. That's why Ryan Brown has won so many cases. Did you notice he said that with a completely straight face? It's amazing. So, Robin Drake, he is mixing up various criminal defenses, and he's using the litmus insanity defense, do you know right from wrong, at the time of the incident. If he didn't know it was wrong, why flee the scene? He would have just, sat in his G-Wagon and enjoyed the ambiance. It's a $200,000 car. So, could you make sense of what we are learning tonight? A, the cops lived, including the one that had to be airlifted. So far, his leg has not been amputated. We're on standby to see how all three of the cops are doing. But I want to focus on the spawn. What do you make of him?
Yeah, the fact that he still circled around after he did the first assault and ran over multiple times. As soon as the good lawyer was talking about, insanity, the only thing I started thinking of was like Lori Daybell Vallo. They didn't find her insane. And Brian Koberg, they didn't find him insane. And they killed people left and right. And so the chances of him being able to get off on that after he circled back around and doubled down on trying to kill this cop after multiple threats and then later on rammed another car, I think is a big stretch that they'll never make.
Speaking of various defenses, this reminds me, almost a fingerprint, of another young privileged man who mows down victims, allegedly Frazier Baum. Remember him? I'll never forget him. Listen.
I remember getting a call that night saying, you know, don't freak out. There's been an accident, and we think it was Ash's car. So I immediately drove down there. I was like, they have no family. All their family's out of state. You know, they need someone. And Bridget met me. Me and Bridget met at the scene, or as close to the scene as we could get. But we just sat on the curb all night, not really knowing what was going on. But then, you know, news broke. And once we hadn't heard from them for a couple hours, because we were always in contact with our friends, we knew that something was wrong.
The son of medical executive Chris Boehm, Frazier Boehm, grew up in Malibu, California, surrounded by the rich and famous, living in a nearly $9 million Seacliff Malibu estate. The 6'4" Boehm was a star baseball player at Oaks Christian School, an L.A. prep school with a $31,000 a year tuition. Boehm had celebrated his 22nd birthday days before crashing his cherry red 2016 BMW into four sorority sisters, killing them instantly. The BMW was gifted to him for his 18th birthday.
If you know or think you know anything about what happened to these three officers, if you were a witness, if you were in the DoubleTree Hotel looking out the window, anything, the case is being built now. Please contact Whitpain PD, 610-279-9033. Repeat, 610-279-9033. We remember an American hero, Deputy Sheriff Joshua Brashears, Jackson County Sheriff's, Mississippi, killed in the line of duty after 21 years on the force, leaving behind two children without a dad. Deputy Sheriff Joshua Brashears. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.